This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. We're live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Brewers did get back-to-back wins, and you know, if you're curious what GM Matt Arnold is thinking of the team, find out this afternoon when he joins Sparky at 2:30 on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan, and on the free Odyssey app. Again, 2:30 PM today, Sparky with GM Matt Arnold. That's going to be a can't-miss. What's always a can't-miss is when Mike Spofford's on the show, editor and writer for Packers.com. You can find him on social media at Mike Spofford. Mike, how the heck are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Andy. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know how busy you always are. Just kind of keeping an eye on Wes Hodkovitz. So taking a second away from that to do this is always appreciated. In all seriousness, I know you had a great time covering the draft in Green Bay. How did you see everything going? And just what was it like for you to be able to cover a draft that was actually in Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was amazing. And, you know, the whole time over the couple weeks leading up to the draft, when you're seeing the stage getting built and you're starting to picture, you know, what things are going to look like, and you picture that, you know, the crowd gathering around the stage and everything for the big Thursday night first round production, but then to actually see it in person, you know, from the windows of the building, to be able to look outside just before the draft started, right before the first pick was made, I was able to look outside and see before I kind of had to hunker down and get to work. And you're just sort of like, wow. I mean, it exceeded anybody's expectations, just not only in terms of the crowd, but just the execution of the entire venture over the 3 days, on the Lambeau campus and everything that it meant to the city and the community. It was just awesome.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, and it was really cool to see, certainly from TV, obviously seeing it in person from when I was down there, and then just to kind of hear what everyone had to say about it as well. It's just been really amazing to kind of hear everyone's stories about it. Is everything finally cleared up for you? Is it a little bit easier to get in and out of work now than it was maybe through the course of the draft?
It's getting a little bit easier, yeah. We actually got an email that starting tomorrow, we can go back to parking like in our normal parking spots when we come to work, instead of these other tailgating lots on the other side of the building that we've been in for the last several weeks. So not to complain, I know there have been inconveniences for a lot of other people, far more than just us here. But yeah, it kind of feels like once we get to tomorrow, and certainly by the end of this week, everything's going to kind of feel back to normal.
Awesome, which I'm sure is going to be nice as well. It's always cool to kind of do these things, but that level of normalcy can be nice to get back to as well. As we look at this Packers draft in and of itself, what just stood out to you about this Green Bay draft and their specific selections that they made through the course of 3 days?
The biggest thing that stood out to me, and it's really what I wrote about on Saturday night on Packers.com, was the variety of players and just types of players that were brought in by Brian Gutekunst and his staff. And what I mean by that is we've seen Gutekunst double up, even triple up at positions and whatnot, right, when he addresses things in the draft. And he did that with, he got a couple of receivers, he got a couple of edge rushers. But Matthew Golden and Savion Williams are very, very different wide receivers. And Baron Sorrell and Colin Oliver are very, very different edge rushers. So while he doubled up at positions, the type of thing that we've seen him do in the past, it wasn't just grabbing anybody and, you know, sort of these carbon copy type players. There's a variety of players, a variety of body types and skill sets within the guys that that he brought in to add to the mix. And I think it makes things really intriguing for the coaching staff on both sides of the ball and how they're going to use these guys.
No, I think that's well said. And one of the things I always say, especially now with having both Matt LaFleur and Jeff Hafley, is when you have two creative guys on both sides of the ball that know how to use players in unique ways, just get them toys. And it felt like Brian Gutekunst was very cognizant and just being like, you know what, you know, it doesn't have to be maybe something specific. I could just get these guys some fun players on both sides of the ball. I think we even saw that in free agency a little bit with Isaiah Simmons being brought in. Just get these guys versatile pieces and they're going to be able to figure out the rest. And it feels like now on the offensive line, wide receiver, tight end, running back, you know, there's versatile pieces at every single one of these positions, and you can say the same at defensive end, defensive tackle, linebacker, corner, safety. And I have a ton of faith that I think both Jeff Hafley and Matt LaFleur are going to figure out ways to use these very unique players.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the versatility of the different players, it covers multiple bases, right? One base that it covers is in the case of injury, and when you need guys to come off the bench or part-time players taking on larger roles because of injuries, when you have that versatility, you're covered a little bit better. But what you said also about guys like Matt LaFleur and Jeff Hafley in terms of how they use players, versatility allows for more creativity as well, right? So I think the strategy here and the types of players that they brought in, you know, kind of hits on both of those points.
I think so, too, and I think it's going to be really fun to see how that kind of all gels together. We're being joined by Mike Spofford, editor and writer for Packers.com. You can find him on social media at Mike Spofford. Of course, we always have some level of expectation going into a draft of maybe what a draft is going to look like. Mike, what maybe surprised you most when we got to the end of the draft of what this Packers draft looked like?
I would say the thing that surprised me the most is because of all of the uncertainty that has been surrounding Jair Alexander and his situation with the Packers, and the fact that you lost multiple cornerbacks in free agency whom you didn't bring back. They went to other teams, you know, Stokes and Valentine and Rochelle. I was really surprised that the Packers didn't draft a cornerback until the seventh round. That would have been the one thing I would have, you know, predicted almost certainly is that within the first, you know, maybe four rounds, I was thinking the Packers were going to bring in a cornerback in those first 100-150 picks, and that didn't happen. And I think that was a big surprise. Now, that being said, they drafted a cornerback in the seventh round, just like they have the last couple years with Kalen King and Carrington Valentine. They also got a guy that I think is, you know, sort of an undrafted rookie prize in Jonathan Baldwin to potentially add to that cornerback room as well. A lot of people thought a guy like Baldwin would be drafted. So, you know, that's just kind of how these things fall sometimes. So that was the biggest thing that surprised me. But that being said, I'm still really intrigued at how that whole group is going to come together, regardless of what ultimately happens with Alexander.
Well, that word intrigue could not have segued better into my next question, so I appreciate that, Mike. Just you've had the opportunity now to kind of unwrap some of these players and kind of see what they could potentially bring to the team. As you look at this class as a whole, who kind of intrigues you most at this point?
Boy, that is a really good question. I would say the two easy answers are Savion Williams and Colin Oliver, and I think, you know, Williams. It struck me, I will say this, when we had the media availability with the rookies last Friday as they were getting going with the rookie minicamp, I was standing next to Savion Williams amongst the other reporters who were talking to him, and it just kind of dawned on me. It's like, boy, I can't remember the last time I was standing next to a wide receiver who's 6'4", 220 pounds, because that young man is really built. He is put together. He has a different body type than you're used to seeing at that position, and so it really intrigues me exactly how the Packers are going to use him and what impact he might be able to make at the NFL level. And the talk is that, you know, he's still a little raw as a route runner. He's got a lot of the nuances of the receiver position he still needs to learn, and that's okay, and that's somewhat to be expected, but you just wonder, like, long term, what kind of an NFL player Savion Williams might become. And with regard to Colin Oliver, I just think it's really interesting. We haven't seen the Packers really employ, whether it be under previous defensive coordinators or under Halfley in his short time so far, we haven't really seen them deploy that sort of undersized speed rusher off the edge in certain packages or certain situations. And Oliver is the guy at 240 pounds, ran a 4.56 40. You have to realize that's only 0.05 of a second slower than Edger and Cooper, and he weighs 10 pounds more than Edger and Cooper. So Colin Oliver's got some speed, and that's a new, bringing that kind of speed off the edge is kind of a new element, as you alluded to, kind of a new toy for Jeff Halfley to maybe try to work into this defense from that particular position, say on third downs or certain sub packages. And I'm really, really interested to see how that unfolds.
I know two totally different body types, but it is sort of intriguing to see only an 18-pound difference between the wide receiver and the defensive end that you just talked about. 18 pounds difference for a edge rusher and a wide receiver. And just, again, two very unique types, one bigger bodied wide receiver and a smaller, bendy speed rusher off the edge. But it is kind of unique to see that. And I'm very excited to see how both of those players play in this, in both systems on offense and defense, and what they can bring to the team. I would have had those as my exact answers as well. Mike, this rookie minicamp that we just experienced wasn't exactly the most exhilarating rookie minicamp that we've probably ever attended, but was there anything, and the answer might just be no, was there anything that you were able to glean or take away from whatever that rookie minicamp was?
I mean, honestly, I'd say no in terms of what was on the practice field that we saw, because they weren't doing anything full speed. It was just very much an introduction to some of the drills and sort of, it sort of felt like an introduction in how to practice as a Green Bay Packer, right? Like, yeah, that's kind of what was going on. I think the more interesting part of the rookie minicamp is probably the part that we didn't see, which was the meetings and some of the walkthrough stuff where they're actually getting the introduction to the playbook and you know, guys, you know, I mean, we're all intrigued, right? Like, is Anthony Belton going to start out, you know, taking reps at tackle or guard? You know, same with John Williams. Like, where do they want him to start? And those are the kinds of things that, you know, we're not going to see until presumably OTAs, when they get into 11 on 11, and then we get to go, okay, he's lining up there. That's where they're going to start him, and we'll see where, you know, how they move him around. So we didn't get, we didn't get that introduction to those players for ourselves. But again, I'll just say the one thing, if there's one thing I'm taking away from that rookie minicamp, is it was standing next to a 6'4", 220-pound wide receiver and kind of going, okay, yeah, this feels a little bit different here with the position that this guy plays. And, and it's not to say that guys like James Jones and Jordy Nelson and whatnot were small. Those guys were not small wide receivers, but they weren't 6'4", 220. And Savion Williams just has a different body type that that is really, really interesting.
I talk about all the time, sometimes you can watch all the tape on players that you want and you can kind of get a feel for a player, but there's nothing that really replaces just sometimes standing next to a player and getting, like, you can immediately understand the vision. I've talked about Quay Walker in the past, of like, you watch him on tape and then you see Quay in person, you're like, oh my goodness, this guy is just chiseled, built, and you can like see immediately why they would see like the love for him as a middle linebacker in the modern NFL. LVN is obviously a version of that as well, where you can quickly see the vision of why they liked him so much. And thanks, Savion Williams has a little bit of that as well. You can glean a lot from standing next to a player like that.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there is an impression that you get when you see these guys in person and especially up close for the first time, because you don't necessarily see that on the video and on the tape, and but you see their physical presence, you see their physical stature, and you kind of go, okay, yeah, I get why they were interested in this guy and you know what they think they can do with them.
We're being joined by Mike Spofford, editor and writer for Packers.com. You can find him on social media at Mike Spofford. You mentioned those OTAs and mini camps that are going to come up eventually. We're about 3 weeks-ish away from, you know, being able to see these players for this entire roster at practice for the first time in 2025. What are you most looking forward to, you know, just kind of covering at those OTA and mini camps, something that you're going to be kind of keeping an extra eye on?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's only the start, right? But it's the start of the wide receiver competition, because we know that Christian Watson's not going to be back until, you know, later in the fall and whenever that is. And it sounds like, you know, he's on a good track in terms of his rehab and potential return. But, man, you know, Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks, the two rookie draft picks you brought in, Bo Melton, Malik Heath are still in that mix. You added Mecole Hardman as a you know, free agent who will be trying to make this team. I mean, you know, just how Jordan Love and Malik Willis kind of start spreading the ball around in OTAs when they are running the 11-on-11 just to see where it goes and who starts making plays early. And you know, it'll sort of be our preview for that daily dose that we're going to get in training camp. And I think, you know, just the kickoff of that competition and how that receiver room is eventually going to shake out by early September is definitely something to watch from the very beginning.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. As far as this roster as a whole, as we start kind of breaking it down, what are some of the biggest question marks that the Packers are still facing, or some of the things that you're just maybe not quite as sure of as we head into this 2025 season?
Yeah, I would say a couple of things, and for me they're both on the defensive side, and I don't mean to dismiss, you know, on the offense, the shifting over of Elgton Jenkins to center with Aaron Banks coming in to play left guard. But there, you're talking about such a veteran and such a seasoned pro that I don't really think Elgton Jenkins shifting to center is going to be, you know, a huge story necessarily or something to follow. I think the expectation is that that transition should go pretty smoothly, and he certainly has played there a handful of times in games through the course of his career to this point. So for me, it's about the defensive side, and one is cornerback, like I talked about before, because we don't exactly know where this is headed with Jair Alexander. You brought in Nate Hobbs. You know, Hobbs, they're looking, they believe he can play both the slot and outside. Keyshawn Nixon last year proved that he can play both in the slot and on the boundary. And Carrington Valentine, who is a guy who really kind of got slowed up a lot last year by injuries and wasn't kind of all the way there until, you know, later in the season when he really got healthy. I just think it'll be really interesting to see where guys are lining up and how they're gonna mix and match things at cornerback. And then the other thing, and this is not necessarily something we're going to be able to tell in OTAs or even training camp for that matter, but with regard to this defense, the one thing that I've been talking about all offseason, with all the focus on the pass rush and needing to be more consistent with the pass rush, especially against the good opponents, because against the Vikings and the Lions and the Eagles, we saw it last year. That's when the Packers' pass rush was not really up to snuff, and it had some good games otherwise, but in those games against the top NFC opponents, it didn't get the job done. So there's justifiably so a lot of focus on the pass rush. But the Packers' run defense had its best ranking in 15 years last season. And the thing that I wonder about is, can they do what they need to do with the pass rush and get it to where it needs to be without sacrificing where they are with the run defense? Because the run defense was a real problem for a lot of years, and to finish in the top 6 or 7, I can't remember exactly what the ranking was, but where they did in 2024, that was a huge accomplishment. Highest finish since they led the league in rushing defense in 2009, which was Dom Capers' first year. So for all the focus on the pass rush, you have to be able to fix that without sacrificing the run defense, or you're just, you know, playing this game of whack-a-mole on defense, and Jeff Hafley doesn't want to get into that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up so much of that. It did feel like almost like Jeff Hafley's initial job coming in was to fix the run defense. He took that seriously and fixed it in year one, but it did feel like maybe the pass rush suffered a little bit because of it. And then the other thing that you mentioned is it was in spurts, right? They actually were tied 8th in the league in sacks last year, which again blows my mind that they were that high, because it just didn't feel that way. But a lot of that right. came in a couple games, and to your point, against big time opponents like the Eagles, the Lions, the Vikings, teams with good offensive lines, they really struggled to get to the quarterback, and that's something they're going to have to do a much better job of this upcoming season. All right, Mike, again, we're being joined. Mike Spofford, editor and writer for Packers.com. Before I get you out of here, I know you are a huge Brewers guy. You don't always get to talk Brewers because you're covering the Packers full time. So wanted to give you the floor. How are you feeling about your 2025 Milwaukee Brewers?
Well, I'll be honest, Andy. I mean, I wish I could feel better about them, but, you know, they feel to me like a team that's treading water right now, and they've got to get past like all these injuries. What I want to see is the 2025 Brewers that they've been planning on and that they've been expecting. And it just seems like every time you turn a corner, you know, there's another guy who's going down, and you know, another guy has to step in and fill in. And it just, it doesn't even feel like they've had their team yet. The 2025 Brewers have not really been together and playing on the field yet. Obviously, they're 35 games in or whatever it is. There's a long way to go here, and I would just, I'd love to see them, you know, get the band together, so to speak. And I know it's the post Corbin Burns and the post Willie Adames era now and everything like that, but I still think they've got a pretty decent team that can compete in a division that is not overwhelmingly strong, although the Cubs certainly look like they're for real this year. But they've got to get these guys together and get these guys all healthy and playing 5 and 6 days a week and see what they can actually do. And they just haven't gotten to that point yet.
Yeah, to your point, it's tough to judge the 2025 Brewers when we have yet to see the full 2025 Brewers. Hopefully that can come sooner rather than later. Mike, love all the work that you do. You do incredible work over at Packers.com. I cannot appreciate it enough you taking the time to come on and chat with us. What do you want to plug on the way out? What do you got coming up over on Packers.com?
Hey, well, actually, just within a couple hours here after I hang up with you, Andy, we are firing up the cameras to reboot Packers Unscripted. We're coming
Let's
back
go.
On the air. We've had a bit of a layoff here, not only because of the off season, but because of some personnel changes within the building in terms of just being able to have an actual producer, like somebody who can produce the show. The people, as you know, in the show that you do, Andy, the people who don't get the credit and their name is not out there and people don't really know who they are, but they're important to what you do. And we actually just haven't had somebody available to produce the show. And today we're finally going to turn the cameras back on again. We have a producer. We're ready to go. And at least from now until the end of the off-season program, we'll have some Packers Unscripted episodes out there for everybody.
Awesome. I can't wait. I can't relate. I have a terrible producer and he gets way too much credit as it is. So I can't totally relate. But no, I appreciate that a ton. I'm looking forward to Packers Unscripted. Say hello to Wes for me and I'm sure we'll be back chatting soon. Can't thank you enough for the time. Follow him at Mike Spofford. Mike, we'll talk soon. All right.
All right. Sounds good, Andy. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thank you as well. Again, that's Mike Spofford. Follow him on social media at Mike Spofford. Tommy, I'm just kidding. I love you. This is the Packaday Radio Show. We'll be back right after this.
Going on.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.